If you're innovating, creating, or making a difference,
this show is for you. Welcome to Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon. Here on Over Coffee, we talk with artists and innovators about the process of changing the world in terms of what they do.
I think that we have taken the pogo stick and we've brought a new connotation to it, which is one of it being a legitimate extreme sport.
The pogo stick has been around since 1919, but the past few years have seen that stick get used in a way our great-grandparents never imagined. Extreme pogo is a relatively new sport that involves seemingly impossible tricks. Nick Ryan is both a member of the X-Pogo Semi-Pro team and the CEO and co-founder of X-Pogo LLC, the company which manages the global operations and development of the sport of extreme pogo. Nick, what do you remember best from growing up in York, Pennsylvania?
Well, I would say that probably the thing that defined my childhood growing up there was the pogo stick that I received around 1999 as a Christmas toy, for sure. That definitely sort of changed the course of my whole life once I got it, because after I received it, it never really left me and basically has brought me all over the world as a result. But to keep a long story very short, I basically received a pogo stick as a kid in York, took it outside, started to bounce on it like most people do. But unlike most people, I didn't stop bouncing on it and throw it in the garage and let it rust away. I was obsessed with it. I would bounce for hours and hours and day trying to, you know, see if I could make it across the street or do a couple spins and grabs. And I started to get my friends and local people in the neighborhood involved as well. And slowly, very slowly, we started to build an extreme sport out of it. At the same time, a couple other people around the country were doing the same thing, and we eventually met up and started to really bring some cohesion to it. And fast forward about 14, 15 years later, we sit, you know, at the top of a skyscraper in Manhattan and have a company completely dedicated to a brand new sport that we sort of came up with in our respective neighborhoods.
What an exciting journey that has to have been.
It's a little surreal. To be honest, we haven't really slowed down much in the past 5 years. So I think that we're sort of due for like 4 or 6 months of just no pogo, and then we'll finally sort of start to really respect how crazy the journey has been. But for now, we're just very much in the thick of it, and it's pretty wild and crazy every day.
And you're looking forward to an international tour as you and I speak. Before we get to talking about that, though, would you tell me, other than jumping across the street and such on your pogo stick, what were some of the early tricks that you originated, as I believe your name was the Cube, that were some of the most challenging?
Yeah, I mean, basically, when we were kids, there was about 6 of us around the country, and we had no knowledge of one another, because this was before YouTube and social media. And so we just took this pogo stick and we started to think about what we could do with it. And some of the basic things were just spinning the handlebars, or maybe reaching down and grabbing the foot peg, or just kicking your leg out or something like that. And this sort of laid the foundation of an entire lexicon of tricks that were the basis of everything that happens today. And so we were all coming up with these grabs and moves, and we would start to sort of post them online to little websites that we would create. And we began to sort of find one another and share these tricks. And as we were able to find each other and start sharing, we sort of combined efforts to really begin to lay down what would become an extreme sport. So, yeah, those were sort of some of the basic kinds of moves that we came up with as kids.
What was the first event in which you introduced extreme pogo to a community?
I would say the first major thing we did was, the date exactly is escaping me, but I think it was 2003 or 2004. It was a parade, a local parade in our hometown, my hometown in York, Pennsylvania. It was the St. Patrick's Day parade that I went to a lot as a kid. And I always sort of watched it from the street, and it was a huge deal to me back then. And I thought, you know, it would be so cool if we could do this parade. And so I spent almost a year planning it, getting about 14 or 15 of my friends and other people, my then-to-be business partners, some of them sort of traveled in, and we took part in it, and we just bounced down the street on little tiny pogo sticks, not extreme pogo sticks, just did some tricks. It was probably pretty odd to see, but we were super enthusiastic about it, and we ended up winning the title of Best of Parade. So it was a big affirmation for us, and it was pretty awesome, and it sort of laid the framework for what live events and exposure could mean. And it's cool to sort of look at the other end of that spectrum, because last year, or this year actually, we were the finale of the Rose Parade out in Pasadena with another like 12 or 14 guys, but this time in the biggest parade in the world, jumping 10 feet in the air on televisions all across the globe. So it was pretty cool. And, you know, we've also done a lot more things since then, but that was definitely the first for me.
I had the pleasure of seeing you and your troupe perform in the Rose Parade. What kind of conditioning did you have to do for that 5.5 miles of pogoing?
It was a real challenge. Like, I mean, I think that I'm sure that people did appreciate it when they saw it, but just walking 5.5 miles is not incredibly easy. And to bounce on a pogo stick that's taking you up and down 10 feet in the air every second is incredibly tiring. And the guys who made it through are superhuman. And there's almost really nothing they could do to prepare for it except to just do what they do. And, you know, we actually were on site at around 2:30 in the morning. So they basically did it all with no sleep as well, which was amazing. And I'm very sort of amazed and proud of them for having done that, because it was a real, you know, physical accomplishment.
Superhuman almost sounds like an understatement here. The first Pogopalooza event, and by the way, happy anniversary, 10 years, was in Nebraska 2004?
Yes, we did the first one in Nebraska in a parking lot in 2004. One of the original founders of the sport, his name was Dan Brown, just decided that it was time for some of us to get together, and six guys went out there and met literally in a parking lot and just did some tricks in a competition format. And what it did is it laid down the precedent that every year the best of the best would meet. And it continued on 2004, 5, 6, and it started to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And we did our 10th one, actually was last year in New York City in the middle of Manhattan. And it was crazy. 3 days all around the city, ending with the finals in Union Square. And now, as we enter 2014 season, we're doing for the first time 3 Pogopaloozas in 1 year in the United States, France, and Sweden, which is pretty awesome.
That is awesome. As we speak here, we'll be pre-recording and airing this right after your France event happens. What are you most looking forward to for going to France, I believe, the 28th through the 1st of June?
Yes. Well, the thing about France, which is really important to me, and I think very fulfilling for a lot of us that have been in this since the beginning, is that we're going there as an official part of an event called FIS, which stands for the International Extreme Sports Federation, and it's the European version of the X Games. So it's basically the best of the best competitions in skateboarding, biking, surfing, wakeboarding, all that kind of stuff, and now X Pogo as well. So they've invited us in. It's a sanctioned official event. And these athletes who are going to be there from our sport are going to be peer athletes along with the best of the best from all the other extreme sports in the world. So I'm really looking forward to basically that legitimizing, just another step towards making a mainstream action sport. And it's a huge step. So I'm excited to take it.
Having come from what you said, the first Pogopalooza event with just 6 people in Nebraska, how did you grow that so that it would go to Chicago and then New York and then just keep snowballing?
Well, you know, part of it in the beginning is just having a really overactive imagination, because the amount of things that are going to get in your way when you're trying to introduce something brand new into anything, whether it's as big as society or as small as, you know, a city, is really hard, because everybody is not going to have your level of imagination around it. And so the way we did it is that we just, from the second that we got on those little pogo sticks 14, 15 years ago, we just knew what we were trying to do. And we knew that it was possible, and we knew that we would get there. And so we just started to walk at it. And so every time we ran into an obstacle, whether it was someone not wanting to give us sponsor dollars, or a city not wanting to work with us, or the press not wanting to cover it, we just simply kept going. And it's been a long journey. I mean, it's been 10 or 11 years for that Pogopalooza platform to really grow to what it's become. And every step of the way was a step. And if you were to lay them all out, it's a lot of steps. But we did it. And, you know, you first move to one city and then another city, and then you get a bigger platform, and then you get more media, and then you get more people to come, and then you get bigger cities to take an interest, and then you go international. And it may look really hard when you try to see how point A and point B connect, but we just walked a straight line to it, and that's kind of how we made it happen over the course of the past decade.
Of all those obstacles you've had to overcome, what stands out in your mind as one of the best triumphs you've had with Extreme Pogo?
Well, it's not a single moment, but I know that we've done something that we thought we might never do, or at least a lot of people thought we would never do, which is that I think that we have taken the pogo stick and we've brought a new connotation to it, which is one of it being a legitimate extreme sport. And it may not be a super widely known extreme sport, but when we were kids, one of the biggest issues that we ran into is that we would bounce on these pogo sticks, and we would hold these events, and we would do these things, and people would just ridicule us, or they would just laugh or reject it just immediately. And so what we needed to do is we needed to take people's initial impression of what they thought of when they thought of a pogo stick and be able to instantly change it the first second that they saw what we were doing. And it took a long time, and it took some really great content and some really great equipment and some really great athletes. But I am sure now, because I see it 100 times a month, that every single time new people are introduced to this, they are immediately filled with respect for it. They may not have heard about it before, but the second they see a guy jumping 10 feet in the air while performing an incredible complex set of tricks and moves and flips, they're like, I'm absolutely on board with the idea that that's an extreme sport, because that's amazing. So I think we've really accomplished that in terms of changing people's minds about what is possible with a pogo stick and gaining respect for what we do and what these athletes do.
You also seem to have gained a lot of inspiration. If we look at your video, Rise, set in Braddock, Pennsylvania, how'd you come to make that one?
You know, we kind of, as our story marches forward a bit, we are very much in the theme of sort of inspiration and innovation and all that kind of stuff. And I personally knew about Braddock, Pennsylvania, because I went to Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, and it's very close to that area, and I knew about the mayor and the whole story of this kind of brokenly beautiful town that's trying to rise up and change itself and bring a new connotation to what it can be. And so I saw this town, and I saw what we were doing, and it was time for us to make a new film. And I just thought it might be a really interesting kind of a pairing. And so we went there and we talked to the mayor, and everybody was very into it. And we decided to tell this story of reinvention, both through the lens of how a town is reinventing itself and how a childhood toy is being reinvented into an extreme sport. And I think it went off pretty well, and we've had a very good reaction around it, and the athletes had a great time. And we kind of did something a bit unique in taking this sort of damaged town that's growing itself in a beautiful new way and basically coloring it in with these incredible pogo stick stunts and the guys' thoughts around it as they're doing it.
And you didn't just leave it there. Tell me about what you're doing later this summer with going back to Braddock, please.
Yeah, well, Braddock is very much on our horizon in many ways. We're really sort of thinking about how we can engage with that town, because they were very kind to us, and we get a lot of inspiration from them. And so we are going back there. We're going to Pittsburgh as our USA leg of our World Championships of Pogopalooza, first week of July. And then after that, the day after, we're going back to Braddock and the Cary Furnace Complex to do something a bit unique. We're going to have another community day with Braddock, and it's going to morph into an evening inside of the amazing sort of abandoned steel furnace complex they have there for a sort of a one-of-a-kind experience for people in the region and people who want to travel in to see these guys in a very sort of intimate setting that's full of local food and music and art, all in this wild setting that we shot the third act of Rise in. And we're excited to partner with everyone again and just have another good time in that space.
People are going to want to attend this if they're on the East Coast. Can you give me some times and contact information?
Sure. Well, I would recommend for anybody on the East Coast or in the U.S. that's interested in seeing kind of our biggest annual moment around this sport to come to the Pittsburgh and Braddock area July 2nd through 4th, and then the Braddock thing is on the 5th of this year. So you can see all the information on pogopalooza.com and, you know, register yourself or get the travel discounts and basically meet all these pros and see the people who are on the borders of this sport really pushing it forward and to see what it's become, which is a wildly visually arresting kind of an experience that's just really cool to behold if you've seen it before or if you've never seen it at all. So yeah, I think that people should definitely come out, and they can also get more information about the sport in general at expogo.com, which is kind of the hub for everything that's happening around this whole movement.
What do you consider one of your absolute best experiences so far in creating your company, Expogo, and making your dream your career?
You know, we've done so many things in the past 2 or 3 years that it's hard to pick it out. I think that for me personally, one of the best experiences was successfully producing the Pogopalooza competition in New York City, because it used to be this kind of Everest for me personally. But we did it, and it went very well, and the busiest, craziest city in the world. But God, there's so many things. I think that one of the coolest experiences by far is when we went down, when we were in Rio, we went down there for a TV show and to film a video. And we went on basically the biggest TV program they have, which is called Domingo Del Fausto. And it's a program watched by 50 million people in the country. And we were on there for about 25 minutes. And within the first 30 seconds, it shut down our website because there was so much traffic and so many people interested in it. And it was just a crazy experience because we were able to sort of reach out to as many people as watched like the Super Bowl in the U.S. And it was awesome. We did so many things. We went to China, and we got to pogo on the Great Wall of China. I mean, things I could never believe. We've been to 17 countries in the past 3 or 4 years, and it's all been because of this pogo stick. And it's been a wild ride.
And it all started with a little kid getting a pogo stick for Christmas. That is amazing. Nick, what would you most like people to take away from your own experiences with Extreme Pogo about creating something special and innovating?
You know, I think that an idea that I really like to champion these days is that there is a lot of difficulty in really fulfilling an idea that you have. And the difficulty lies both in yourself and sort of having the willpower to see it out, but also in the reality that, like, our society and culture and even the world as a whole is not that kind to new ideas initially. They're very excited about them when they have a lot of clear momentum. But before that time, they're not that into it. You know, if someone's like, I'm going to write a book, most people are like, okay, you write that book. You know, but what I would say, if I could have people take something away from our story, is that if you have something that you want to do, you might as well just run at it, because you have nothing at all to lose. If everything goes wrong and you really can't make it happen, you are still further along than you were because you gained an education from whatever your experiences were. So there really, it is always a logical and rational idea to take your dream and run with it. It will always benefit you every time. And if you really do, you probably will succeed. And I think that what we've done is evidence of that, and we have met so many people who have also done that too, and it's helped us to really find a way to cut through so many things and achieve what we want to do.
Nick, thank you for your time today.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure.
You and I have been listening to Nick Ryan, CEO of XPogo LLC. If you'd like to know more about the sport of extreme pogo and XPogo's current Pogopalooza Championship Tour, check out their website at xpogo.com. That's xpogo.com. And if you're going to be on the East Coast, Nick and company invite you to join them at the first ever XPogo Furnace Jam, a community event happening Saturday, July 5th at the Cary Furnace Complex next to Braddock, Pennsylvania. Once again, you'll find the information on their website, xpogo.com. And that concludes this edition of Over Coffee. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more Over Coffee podcasts, our link is twomaverix.com. That's twomaverix.com. And you can contact us at twomaverix@gmail.com. The music you're hearing is royalty-free production music provided by Pond5 at pond5.com. I'm Dot Cannon. Here's wishing you a cappuccino day.